This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some shows talk about one team. Other shows barely talk sports. This show will talk Packers, yes! Brewers, yes! and Bucks, yes! every day.
Every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Download the Wendy's app today.
It is time again as we broadcast live from The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I'm Sparky. He's Charlie Usen, producing the show. Other side of the glass, Chicago Charlie. Coming up this hour, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur coming up in the next segment. He talked a little bit earlier today. And the 440 segment, I titled it Random Crap. That's what I titled it. Did I not? That's what
you
I said.
You did indeed.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff I want to cover, and there was not enough time in the show to cover everything. So I said, well, we'll just come up with a segment called Random Crap at 440, and we'll do it that way. So I want to talk about this Max Muncy thing that happened last night. I want to talk about the Bucks preseason wrapping up last night as well. We got to get to predictions for Padres and Packers in that 440 segment. So stay tuned for that segment coming up at 440. Joining us now, time for our fantasy football segment. We do it every football Friday at 4 o'clock. Dial it up if you'd like. Nicolay Law fan line, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can tweet at us at TheFanMilwaukee. He is Joe Bartel from RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at JBFantasySports. Joe, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to talk some fantasy football here.
All right, last week when we last talked, we talked about Romeo Doubs, how the Packers should approach it, how they should go about their business. What did you take away from that Packers offensive showing last week and the distribution by Jordan Love?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty equal. I had mentioned that I thought maybe Doubs would get a bit more touches, a bit more involved, and I don't think there felt like a dramatic focus to get him more opportunities. That first touchdown pass, I think – Jordan Love definitely was looking Dobbs' way, but it was also the correct read, and Dobbs made the play in it, so it wasn't like it was force-fed. And the second one was just Jordan Love's brilliant magic and Romeo Doubs making a good adjustment. That wasn't really a force-fed scenario either, too. And I think it's going to be what we have seen most of the year when Jordan Love's been healthy, where you're going to have moments where Christian Watson has a good game or Jaden Reed is the most consistent of the group, but Romeo Doubs has opportunities. And when Dontavian Wicks is healthy, Tucker Kraft, same thing. It's a problem for fantasy because there isn't Devontae Adams. There isn't a guy that's going to get the main workload every single week. But it certainly makes the Packers offense better.
When we talk about guys changing teams, and there have been a couple of them that change teams, normally, in most times, I feel like in fantasy, when some type of really good football player changes teams to another team, normally it's just a bigger benefit to that really good football player. I don't see it being any different in this situation here with Devontae Adams going back to his hookup to Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. He'll be great. I wonder what it does to Garrett Wilson, however.
Yeah, you're right. I think the one-for-one is going to be Devontae Adams is the number one receiver for the Jets immediately. The trigeminitis / hamstring was cleared. Devontae Adams is going to have a full participant in practice. He was all week. He's going to play and get the full workload, which we all expected, right? That was going to happen. So I assume it's Devontae Adams getting 10, 11 targets a game, maybe a bit more early on, but average of the rest of the season, 10 or 11. And we assume Aaron Rodgers throws maybe 35 a game, somewhere in that range. Garrett Wilson would then probably, I think, average to more 9 or 10. So just a slight bump down. But if I'm saying both those two are having about combined 21, 22 targets of Rodgers 35, that means Alan Lazard, Braylon Allen, Tyler Conklin, all those guys take the dramatic drops. I don't think Garrett Wilson comes out of the fold. Now, maybe the better targets or more prominent ones will go to Devontae Adams. You don't really know how that works on a game-to-game basis with the offense. But Garrett Wilson is too good of a player to not be involved. And we've seen Aaron Rodgers plenty of times have multiple receivers have fantasy value if they're good enough. So I don't think Garrett Wilson loses a ton of value. He loses value, but not a ton of value. It's more like Alan Lazard and the rest of the group that really falls down.
Does Rodgers become a QB1?
No, it's close. Like we posted a love-hate video on the RotoWire YouTube channel earlier today, and I had Mahomes outside my quarterback one conversation this week, and I made the case rest of season. Patrick Mahomes, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, certainly the best quarterback currently, is not going to be a fantasy-relevant guy with the way the Chiefs' offense is. So when you have those types of players, you have Dak Prescott on bye. He's a low-end quarterback one most weeks. Caleb Williams could be in that conversation, too, for the Bears. When that happens, then by default, Rodgers can be in that conversation, and he probably wasn't in the weeks past, but I don't think this dramatically changes Aaron Rodgers' outlook.
Talking with Joe Bartel, RotoWire, of course, fantasy football. If you want to jump aboard, you can. Nicolay Law fan line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the fan Milwaukee. Let's talk about the other one, Amari Cooper moving to Buffalo for Josh Allen. I would assume both of those guys' stock go up because to this point, Amari Cooper has been a non-factor.
Yeah, and I think you would be in line with most people of the fantasy industry, and I guess I'll go contrarian on this, not because I want to. I just want to push back on the narrative a little bit. Josh Allen's going to be fine regardless. I was actually fading him among the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts of the world. That was the one I wanted to draft least, given all the weapons or lack of weapons that the Bills had. And he's been fantastic, still a red zone threat. Josh Allen on the ground really provides you the safety net that you're looking for and still has the capability to pass the ball frequently. So the idea of Josh Allen struggling or not doing as well fantasy-wise, it was overblown at the beginning of the year. I was wrong on that, and I think he's been significantly and will have continued to have significant fantasy value. It's the Amari Cooper angle that's clear, and I want to define this first off. Like, Amari Cooper was on the Cleveland Browns, historically one of the worst offenses we've seen over the past 40 years. So by default, literally leaving that situation will make Amari Cooper a better fantasy value. Now, the idea of Amari Cooper being a better or at least even on that fourth, fifth round redraft area where he was at the beginning of August or end of August drafts, I don't know about that. We just saw last year the Bills have a number one receiver, averaged close to 28, 30 points per game, and didn't use Stephon Diggs at all. And then they gave him away. And it's, well, maybe Stephon Diggs has lost a step or he's fallen off. And I think he's played really well. We're going to find out here come Sunday against the Packers how good he still is for the Texans. So that's not it. I think Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator for the Bills offense, does not want to have a number one receiver in the ilk of Devonta Adams during the Aaron Rodgers heyday. Like, that's not what Joe Brady wants to do. You're going to have Keon Coleman still have the ball. You're going to have Curtis Samuel do some things. Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox will still be a factor. And the rushing attack, whether it be James Cook or Ray Davis, is really good. So Amari Cooper makes the Bills better because it means Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Matt Collins don't have to be on the field. That is a win. That's a very easy call to do for a third-round pick for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. But I don't think Amari Cooper is going to be a guy that gets 10-plus targets and averages 80 yards receiving the rest of the season. I just don't know if the Bills' offense wants to use a receiver that way.
Do you think we'll ever see Jonathan Taylor ever have another huge year again as he's out again this week with a high ankle sprain?
I do, and I think he was actually performing really well this year. It's just a high ankle sprain happens, and especially at the running back position, it's typically a 3 to 4 week deal, so I wasn't at all surprised that he was not going to play, and I would assume he's back next week. Otherwise, the Colts would have just put him on IR. They didn't choose to do so, so theoretically that 3 to 4 week window, well, he's going to be there. Jonathan Taylor is immensely important to that offense. Now, if Anthony Richardson had been the quarterback that some, including myself, thought he would be, then you're talking about Jonathan Taylor really primed for – there was at one point, 2 years ago, where he was an MVP favorite among the top three or four. I think Jonathan Taylor can certainly get to that point. He's one of the best running backs in the league, in my opinion, and just because he's missing some time and had that weird holdout thing last year, that doesn't negate the fact that Jonathan Taylor has the elite speed, the elusiveness, the balance, I think, to be one of the best running backs, and is an offense that uses him a lot. So, no, I'm not at all worried about Jonathan Taylor. And I think he's probably going for close to 2,000 yards again, because it's just hard to do. But, yeah, he's definitely still elite in my mind.
Talking with Joe Bartel, RotoWire, talking fantasy football every Friday. We do it here at 4 o'clock. Follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Caleb Williams and this Bears offense starting to click and get better week by week as they build. Are there any must-haves as part of this offense right now in fantasy?
Well, most people already have them, so it's like, okay, who do you want to trade for? And do you trade for DJ Moore? Well, he hasn't really been utilized to the extent that you'd assumed. He certainly isn't going to match his numbers last year. Keenan Allen missed a couple games, came back, scored 2 touchdowns last week, but I thought it was largely bad defense. I thought Keenan Allen's going to go down as one of the best route runners, I think, in the NFL history, and if not for the Chargers' ineptitude, probably should be a Hall of Fame candidate in my mind. But he's on the wrong side of his career. So I'm not really trading assets for Keenan Allen. I'm not sure what that would include. I think the person who had Keenan Allen sat through the injury probably values him more than I would from a trade perspective. So it'd be Rome Odunze by default to the answer to that question. I actually really think if and when Keenan Allen gets injured again, you're talking about Odunze who has a relationship with Caleb Williams. They're, of course, both at the draft, kind of traveled around. I think that stuff really matters. We certainly saw that here in Green Bay, but I think Odunze is one of the interesting ones. The only issue is, again, the person who drafted Odunze probably doesn't want to just give him up for nothing, and I'm not really trying to go out and give a major asset for him either. There's Cole Kmet, obviously, who I think is like tight end 5 or 6 right now, but every tight end around that range has had one big or two big boom games and therefore is that spot. So, no, and I also think, what, the Bears have not beaten a team that has more than one win all season or something like that? Like, it's been an easy schedule, not discounting Caleb Williams or the Bears at all. In fact, I've been a proponent of Caleb Williams even when he was struggling early on. But let's just see if things happen the same way against actual real teams in the NFL.
That Atlanta Falcons team was getting a quarterback in Kirk Cousins, and everybody thought that offense was going to start cooking. All of a sudden, Bijan would finally get the numbers everybody thought he was going to get. People thought Kyle Pitts would finally get the numbers they thought he should have gotten under Arthur Smith when he was running the Atlanta Falcons offense. How would you judge this Falcons offense to this point from a fantasy perspective?
I think they've been about as advertised as you'd expect. Now, they had 3 difficult games to begin the season. It was why, when we were talking about betting for the NFC South Division title, saying, if you think the Falcons are to win, just wait until after that Chiefs game, because they might be 1-2, they might be 0-3, but afterwards, their schedule the rest of the season is just ridiculously bad, comically bad. So, and it's part of that being the NFC South, yes, I understand, but the Falcons are a good enough team, and we'll find out again this week against the Seahawks. Perfect example. I think the Seahawks are a fringe playoff team. They're typically 10-7, 9-8, 8-9. They're going to be competitive. Are the Falcons that level of team, or are they a little bit above it? They're going to be a guaranteed playoff team regardless, because the NFC South is miserable outside the Buccaneers. But are the Falcons actually that tier? So we're going to find out Sunday. But the offense has been totally fine. I think Kirk Cousins threw for 500 yards 2 weeks ago against the Buccaneers on Thursday night. Drake London has been everything that you were hoping him to be as a late first-round pick. He's been the only one of that Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison, Chris Olave tier, Puka Nacua of receivers that actually has lived up to his draft billing, Garrett Wilson in that equation too. So I think Drake London's been fine. And even Kyle Pitts, he's really talented. At some point, they're going to get him a little bit more involved. And you could say, well, Joe, I've heard that for the last 3 years. Yes, I know he's not a top 5 tight end, but he's just as good as I think the David Njoku's and Evan Ingram's of the world. And that's sort of what you're hoping for. So the Falcons offense has been, I think, as advertised. And the Tyler Allgeier's been good at the expense of Bijan's. Frustrating, but that can always change if one of those two guys gets injured. And I think to have 2 good running backs as opposed to 0 is a benefit in my mind.
You know, one guy that I'm not sure from a fantasy perspective everybody was super excited to get because he had his opportunity maybe in Dallas. It didn't work out last year. But Tony Pollard goes to the Titans, and everybody's kind of looking at him. He played well last week, but now they go to Buffalo this week. What are your thoughts on Pollard?
Well, the Buffalo Bills, I think, allow the 2nd-most or 3rd-most rushing yards to opposing running backs. And it's incredible because the Titans, I mean, we watched them a couple weeks ago. Their offense is miserable. That team has talent. Like, if that's how I'm building my team around a second-round quarterback, I would want to sign Legarius Sneed and Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley. Like, you want to get good pieces to see what your quarterback has. The problem is the quarterback is miserable. Mostly everyone knew that except for the Titans. And we're getting the end result of an offense that's really, really bad in a scheme that has no idea what it's doing. Tony Pollard has been able to excel despite those circumstances. And I think he's like running back 7 overall this week against this Bills defense. They just allowed Breece Hall to have his first good game in a month. I think the Dolphins are actually able to run a little bit on the Bills too. Like, it's a scenario where I think Tony Pollard really has a wheels-up scenario and will be totally fine. Tajay Spears, also, I don't know if his status has been revealed yet, but it seemed like he was trending towards not playing. He got injured last week. And if Tajay Spears is not out there, we're talking about 25-plus carries for Tony Pollard, and that's a major win for fantasy.
Tyrone Tracy Jr., is that a guy people should pick up running back with the Giants?
Yeah, he was on our waiver wire podcast on Tuesday, one of the featured guys. And at that point, he was probably about 35% rostered. Our threshold's always under 50, but I play in so many deep leagues, I don't really feel like it helps unless I'm targeting people under 20%. So Tyrone Tracy's been picked up everywhere in my mind now for the past 2 weeks, but he seems to be the starter. And we'll see Devin Singletary, I think, back this week for the Giants. you're going to see Singletary, I think, take a backseat to Tyrone Tracy, like a 60-40, 65-35 split. You can't really put that genie back in the bottle. Tyrone Tracy's been awesome as a runner, but he's more gifted as a receiver out of the backfield, which obviously makes sense. It's a converted receiver from college. So I think Tyrone Tracy is one of those that you might have been able to stumble into for relatively cheap in the waivers, and it should be a guy you're holding on the rest of the season for.
Earlier in the show, we have our confident, concerned, curious. And the one thing I'm a little bit worried about here is Tank Dell going off and having a game, because he really hasn't had one to this point this year for the Texans. From a fantasy football perspective, I know he hasn't done anything. Do you think Tank Dell gets going this week against the Packers?
Yeah, he finally had a good week, and good week relative to what we were hoping him to have last week. And I pushed back on that notion a little bit. I thought Xavier Hutchinson would be more involved with Nico Collins out, and that certainly didn't happen. You're right. I mean, if I always do like the matchup thing in my quarterback mind, or sorry, my cornerback mind. Stephon Diggs, a smaller guy. You think Jair Alexander, especially with their history with the Vikings and Packers, like Jair can cover Stephon Diggs even if Diggs is in the slot. Like, you could do that a little bit. Tank Dell's certainly faster. I don't know if he – I think Stokes – I'd be a little bit concerned with Stokes on Tank Dell, and maybe Stokes could play instead against Stephon Diggs. We'll have to kind of find out what that looks like. But in my mind, it's going to be Joe Mixon just running the ball. And the Packers run – this isn't Joe Barry anymore. The Packers run defense actually is pretty good. But Joe Mixon's also really good, and the Texans really want to run the ball. So I kind of think of it as a ball control tempo, C.J. Stroud using the play action to make some big plays, kind of like what Jordan Love and the Packers do with Josh Jacobs. Like, I think it's going to be almost a mirror matchup offensively. Dell isn't going to be targeted, I don't think. I don't think he's going to be targeted like 10 times. But if he catches 4 or 5 for 65 and a touchdown, that will put the Texans in a position to win. I don't know if fantasy-wise he's going to have like this massive explosive game. I think the Packers' defense is kind of well-suited to stop him.
What do you expect from Nick Chubb making his season debut coming off injury this week?
So I'll admit that I want nothing to do using any sort of my brain on this Browns offense. It's just so gross. And I feel like we're being gaslit by the NFL and by the Browns and pretending that we have to care about them. When the Browns want to be serious and when they bench Deshaun Watson for literally anything else, you could play as well of quarterback as Deshaun Watson currently is. It's a compliment to you, but it's also a diss to Deshaun Watson. You could play quarterback just as well. Once they do literally anything else, then we can care more about what they're going to have on a week-to-week basis. Nick Chubb, to me, is being touted as a mascot for the Browns offense, and I think it's very insulting because Nick Chubb should be on the Hall of Fame track as Derrick Henry and everyone else of this running back group. He is that good of a running back, but it doesn't matter because this scheme, this offense, this team is just so defunct. Nick Chubb could be really good. I think he could probably split time with Deonta Foreman. Jerome Ford, when he ends up getting healthy, will be a factor too. But there is nothing of consequence right now in Cleveland's offense. I'm not sure if you saw, there was rumors about the Packers trading for Greg Newsom.
Yeah, we led the show with that.
Yeah, I think that sort of thing, let's sell off everything, maybe even David Njoku in that instance. They're not going to do that for Nick Chubb, and that's where I go back to the mascot comment, which is so insulting to Nick Chubb, but that's what it is. I don't have a lot of belief that he's going to have crazy fantasy value rest of season.
Here he is, our guy Joe Bartel from RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Always there for you for your fantasy football questions every week. Joe, thanks so much for coming out. We'll talk next Friday.
Yeah, happy talk. Thanks, everyone.